Welcome to Growing International, where you hear from educators like yourself, students, and experts in the field of international education on how to grow your study abroad programs and internationalize your campuses. I'm your host, Jody Littleton, a professor of communication and a study abroad coordinator for Parkland College. I couldn't do this show without the support of Parkland College, a community college located in Champaign, Illinois, as well as the Consortium of International Studies and Programs and the Community Colleges for International Development. Whew! With all that out of the way, let's get started. So I'm super excited to have Mike Massingham talking to us today. He is the founder, director of EDU Africa. So thanks, Mike, for being here.
Jody, it's so good to be here with you this morning. And yeah, thanks calling in from Cape Town in South Africa. So we've managed to navigate some time differences, but really excited to chat about study abroad today.
Yeah, it's great. I love the fact that we can connect cross continents, and it seems just like you're in the next room. Well, let's get started. And I loved the fact that I got to meet you in person at CCID, and hopefully this podcast will help other people get to know what you are doing. First of all, I always think it's kind of fun. I teach communication courses. So if you had to do an elevator pitch, what would you say about EDU Africa?
Yeah, thanks, Jody. It really was good to be at CCID this year. So yeah, let me give you my elevator pitch, and we'll see how many floors I can get through before we get to the top of it. So it might be a tall building and it might be a short one. But yeah, EDU Africa is an academic study abroad partner whose mission is to develop and facilitate transformative learning journeys. And that's done through like our faculty-led, our virtual exchange, service learning, high school, and then individual study abroad programs in sub-Saharan Africa. I always like to reference our goal when we're talking about who we are, because it's our reason for existence. It frames everything that we do. And that's our goal is for all students to experience holistic transformation during their time in Africa. And they will then become global agents of that change. So go back and make a difference in their own community where they came from. So we're really passionate about people, environment, education, and believe that every journey to Africa allows students to learn and to transform. And so we do this through custom programs and giving faculty and their students access to experiential learning opportunities, high caliber industry and academic professionals, and also just amazing sustainable community initiatives as well. And so kind of combining place-based experience with intentional reflection practices and dialogue, and then we aim to challenge students' understanding of various African cultures, knowledge systems. Yeah, it's exciting to have every opportunity to encourage and enhance and also just measure the student transformation. And a bit later, Jody, maybe I'll speak about our transformation questionnaires and our goals and how we measure things.
So you covered a lot in a very short period of time. Let's just kind of focus on maybe one or two. Let's kind of look in the past and then we'll look in the future. What are you most proud of accomplishing at EDU Africa? Because you started it, right?
Yeah, Jody, this is our 20th year. So it's quite exciting
to
be doing this in this time. So 2003, there were a few of us who got together and started this. And we've really kind of grown and learned over the last 20 years. And so it's been an incredible learning journey for us as owners, and that, and really proud of where we are today, that we collaboratively design academically rigorous programs now in 14 African countries, and so from three regional bases. And so just really proud of that. I think, our focus on transformative educational experiences and student learning has been important to us. And I think particularly in the last 10 years or so, has been our commitment to amplifying African voices and wanting to position Africa as thoughts and knowledge leaders through these experiences. So really proud that we get to do that. I think also just proud of our health and safety record over the last 20 years. You know, Africa has its challenges, but, you know, we've really worked hard on that piece. And maybe one other thing I'd say is our academic reflection report. It's our second year that we've managed to put one of those out. And it starts with an overview of our transformation results, including graphic, but also just we've gathered a whole of reflections from key stakeholders. And so from our program designers and our operations teams, to our facilitators, to our clients as well. When I read through some of the student reflections on their time in Africa and how it's impacted them, it really is so profound. And I love reading them. I get emotional often when I read them because they've had such an incredible experience. And not just because of us, it's because Africa is this beautiful place and that really has impacted them and the people here on this continent. You know, we just love that we get to do that. We get to integrate students and introduce them to Africa. So a few things in there.
Yeah, that's a lot. I have to compliment you. One of the things that's always a challenge for me as a very small, you know, this is a small part of my overall job, is that assessment piece. So I think for clients, that would be extremely valuable because we have to show to our administration that this is having an impact on our students and this is making a difference. And so you collecting that information makes a huge difference for us, I think, in helping us justify our programs and again, show why study abroad is so valuable to students. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thanks, Jody. About 5 or 6 years ago, we took on an academic director, Dr. Heidi Barnes, and she's really instrumental in helping us, with this data and with the assessment tool. And so it's a pre and post questionnaire that students take, and then we can map the and interpret the data from that. And it's just been, it's been exciting to see kind of growth in various different areas.
Maybe we'll get into this I'm very interested in, you said 14 different locations, right? Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, I know things change constantly. What's kind of been the most popular areas for people to participate in?
Yeah, Jody, I think probably 4 or 5 kind of key areas. South Africa has always been relatively well known around the globe. And so we have a large contingent of programs that run here annually, particularly high school groups that come through here. And then Zimbabwe, particularly in Victoria Falls area, has been very sort of popular. And then I'd say Kenya and Tanzania and Ghana are probably the key areas. Now, 3 of those, we have particularly strong operational teams in there. We have leadership in those areas. And so as an organization, we're really passionate about being involved in communities and in conservation and the areas that we work in. And so naturally, where we have stronger leadership, there's been more opportunities in those areas. But probably those 4 countries are where, maybe 70% of our programs, and then the rest are kind of spread around, places like, Namibia and Zambia and Botswana. And we have several programs that kind of tackle on those areas as well.
Very good. These all sound great to me, but I know that we were talking about earlier that Africa is, I think, a little bit tougher sell to students because, they're not maybe as familiar with it and don't see the reason why they should go, though I think it's amazing and definitely a destination that I think everybody should go to.
Yeah, Jody, I think it's important. We've really advocated for Africa as a destination, as I said, as a knowledge contributor, as a great place for students to study abroad, and that with the right partners and people, it can be a very safe destination to travel to, and that's why we take health and safety very seriously, because we want to make it accessible as well, and also just as a underrepresented area and non-traditional, really advocating that Africa can be that, and it's got a amazingly young population, and I think could be a real big region of focus for the future.
Speaking of the future, so that was my next question. What are you looking forward to as far as the future? What's getting you excited?
Yeah, Jody, we were chatting earlier. Just the impact of COVID is is particularly brutal on an organization like ours and international study abroad. And so it's been a challenging couple of years through that, and we really jumped quite heavily into virtual exchange, and which was very powerful to see the impact of that and to see conversations happening between US students and African students, and them having dialogue and learning together and bringing those voices into African classrooms. But I think, a few things excited about the CCID network has been really incredible, amazing organization. And just we've seen an increase in, in programs running for community colleges. And I think that is just really exciting for us to kind of debunk some of the myths of that it's not accessible or it's too expensive. And so we work hard on those things and to make it accessible, and seeing, more and more community college students studying abroad has been really exciting. So we're excited to see that kind of growing. We've also do a lot of work in the high school space, predominantly with US high schools. And so we reimagined our whole programming and pedagogy and approach to high schools. And so we're actually launching that this week coming. And so just excited for getting high school students, abroad as well, and that helping them then go into their, college and university careers after that. One other area I'd say that we are excited about, we're involved in conservation work quite heavily around the continent, but particularly in Kenya and in the private conservancies around the Maasai Mara. And so our involvement is with a new wildlife tourism college there. And so that's based in the Pademat Conservancy. It's a really unique place that has this dual use model. So it's going to be this conservancy where traditional Maasai families and their livestock will still live, but also just be a game corridor for wildlife to kind of move through. So unlike others where the Maasai family have moved out, this will be a dual use one. The 850 landowners have legally registered their 26,000 hectares of land as wildlife conservation area while remaining to work in this. And so this Wildlife Tourism College will attract Maasai youth coming to actually study at the college, and they'll enlist in courses like hospitality, food and beverage, housekeeping, tour guiding, front office, environmental management, etc. And then our role will be, as the key educational partner in this, will be the integration and management of international faculty-led groups and students and researchers who'll be based at the college. And so there's a lot of synergies, a lot of opportunities, and just amazing integration of culture and learning of students together. So particularly excited about that in the ecology space in Kenya. And then maybe just because we spoke about it earlier, but just the growing student transformation data that we have. And as the years go on and we get more and more data, it's been fantastic to be able to share that at CCID this year, and to see, particularly this year in community colleges, that the highest growth area was in professional development. And so as, for community college students who really need to see, particularly study abroad, tied to workforce skills, the fact that study abroad has added to their professional development is something that I think we're really excited about growing. So yeah, those are a couple of the things that I think we will, and there's lots of opportunities in Africa, so we have to pick a few and go with them.
I love the last one. That sounds amazing. So it sounds like it's the partnership with the Maasai College with the conservation. It sounds like you have some opportunities just for faculty to go over and do research and maybe be, teach some classes, as well as student groups coming over. So it sounds like both that professional development for faculty and then also the student component as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, Jenny, that is correct. It's fairly new. It opened earlier this year. And so as those opportunities come, so they're really trying to set on the college side, they're really trying to set it up. That's run by the Wildlife Tourism College, and they are setting up so they will have strong internet there and access to be able to dial in professors to help with some of the courses. So we're academic directors looking at how we can be involved in it as well, but they already have relationships with a South African institution and a few European ones where professors are able to kind of dial in and actually give lectures. So that's exciting. Madison Area Technical College are very involved as well, and they have currently got someone based in Kenya and looking at ways to look at student mobility as well as faculty mobility, as well as getting students on exchange programs. So there's some great opportunities there. We've got a couple of professional development opportunities for faculty to come over and see that. And so there definitely will be a huge range. It's a fairly new conservancy, and as I said, it's a dual use one, and so it's cutting edge in terms of that, and it's only the beginning of this. And so, yeah, welcome opportunities to discuss that with
anyone. That would be great for colleges and community colleges, universities, because obviously a lot of community colleges have hospitality programs. I'm sure there's colleges out there that have conservation programs talking about environmental impact management, that kind of thing. So that's a really cool area. So congratulations on collaborating on that. That sounds very interesting.
Thanks, Jody.
I love it. Well, let's kind of get into maybe the more nitty gritty. So it sounds like, and based on your website, so obviously you work with high school students, you work with college students, both community college and university. You know, if somebody was interested in developing a program with you, what would be the steps? What do you kind of walk us through how you would do it?
Yeah, thanks, Jody. I think to start with, to say we are very collaborative in our approach, and also just very customized in programs. Our normal way would just be, hey, let's set up a call so we can get connected. It's great. Actually, what COVID did in terms of like jumping on a Zoom call, everyone's happy to do it. And we want to build some relationship. We want to build some trust. And so we'll get on the call with the faculty member, as well as maybe the study abroad office if they're involved. And then one of our program designers. So we have a group of program designers. They are the ones who help with the program together. We have them based across Africa. So many of them have a geographical experience, but they also program across a wide variety of disciplines. One cool thing about having done this for 20 years is that we've programmed across multiple disciplines over the time. So we'll get on a call with the program designer and the faculty, and then, you know, just basically, you know, chat through their ideas. So we start with asking about learning outcomes and their kind of goals for the program. And we speak about, you know, our sort of network and our transformation goals and the whole program. And then after that, we kind of go away and put together a proposal. So it's fully inclusive. So, you know, it's undergirded by, you know, the accommodation and the transport. We have a dedicated program facilitator throughout the program. And then, you know, bringing in, you know, the service partners and activists and guest lecturers. And we put it all together, and then we'll send a proposal off, you know, kind of fully inclusive. And then we expect a bit of back and forth dialogue because it's customized. We're working out, you know, itinerary and final arrangements. And it's also quite collaborative in that, you know, we find some faculty, you know, hey, they lived in Kenya for 10 years and they have a lot of connections and they kind of know exactly what they want, but they need or would like the support of a partner like us and to bring in certain elements of it. And so we can do that. And then others, I had a call just before this one, actually, with a new community college. And she was just excited about, hey, we're going to do some conservation work in Africa, and where should I start? Talk through a whole lot of opportunities and ideas. And so that spectrum is quite wide. Yeah, as I said, you have a dedicated program designer with you throughout the whole process, and they all the way through up until the program running, they're in constant support, and then having that program facilitator with you on the ground, a local one throughout the whole program, that's good.
What's typically the length of time that you work with as far as these study abroad programs?
In terms of lead time, Jody?
Well, a lead time and the actual program itself. So both.
Yeah. So lead time's a bit of a mix. What we've found is that we have a lot of programs that repeat annually. So once they kind of run, they run sort of every time of the year, and we just make small updates or changes to that. Others, it normally varies between, you know, 6 to 18 months in terms of a lead time. You know, we're pretty flexible on that. So now we're seeing, you know, as we approach the end of you know, the academic year, that a lot of call for proposals will go in now to get approved for next year. So we expect that. And then when the schools open again, you know, we see a lot of proposals going out in that. In terms of on the ground, the average over the years has been anywhere between 2 and 3 weeks, you know, some 10 days. We have found with community colleges, and particularly because it's linked to the Gilman Scholarship, is that kind of 14-day program is ideal. You're traveling quite far anyway, make it worth it, and the 14 days gets you access to Gilman Scholarship funding if you were successful with that. Yeah, and groups that range between 12 and 20, you know, people on a group, and normally traveling with one or two faculty with that. But we have 6-week programs as well.
Give me some examples of some different themes that I guess people have. What are they interested in when they come over there? What's been kind of the popular areas?
Sure, there's quite a few. I think business has been a big focus. Nursing and allied health, music and drama and art, a lot of social sciences. We do some engineering programs. There's people looking at history and culture. South Africa, because of our apartheid history here and the US civil rights, often a lot of programming around understanding that. Really big in the ecology and conservation spaces as well. Then we also have found what's been quite popular for community colleges is, well, two things. One is kind of cohort models where two or three community colleges get together to collaborate on a program, which has really worked. And then also multidisciplinary approach to it as well. So we had two community colleges came, and they had business students, nursing students, zoology students. And so we were able to put a program together because of the whole experience in terms of intercultural competence and global citizenship. You grow in those areas and it's an incredible experience. And then on certain days, hey, the zoology students are going here and the nursing students are going here. Well, those are probably some of the key areas. But overall, ecology, conservation, nursing, health, agriculture, and people, there's also some really, people have got really creative with programs as well. And English and history and photography and viticulture, there's a wide range out there.
Well, that's great to hear. It's nice to hear that you're able to even take one group that has multiple areas of interest and still make all that work. I really like that. I'm trying to think what I wanted to ask next. I had a question and then I forgotten it. I guess we'll go to the next question. It kind of deals with that. You mentioned Madison Area Technical College, and I am very familiar with them. They're part of the Illinois Consortium for International Studies and Programs that mm-hmm. I belong to, and they are rock stars. They do some really great things. They have great leadership. So my question was, what are some examples of successful partnerships that you've had? I don't know if you want to talk about Madison or if there's others. I didn't mean to lead you into talking about them, but...
No, not at all. I'd love to. Yeah, they have had a staff member and his family based out in Kenya for coming up in a year. So in May this year, they'll finish their year there and really looking at expanding opportunities. So looking at student mobility, institution to institution partnerships, so they already receive a lot of African students to come study at Madison. And so how can they increase that? Looking at opportunities for faculty to travel over there, just really committed to Africa being a region of focus for them. And so we've done that through virtual exchange and through journalism, through Dr. Jeff Bradshaw's leadership program. We collaborated with him on putting together a field studies program. He teaches a lot around risk and health and safety. And so, we just said like, hey, let's run that course in Africa and make it a real world experience type thing. So that's been very successful. So I think the intentionality from the leadership of Madison has been really amazing. And so where we can get together and have a focus to say, hey, we really want to see success in this. It's been exciting. It's not just a one sort of faculty-led programming. They've really gone deeper than that. We love that they are so passionate about Africa, and have put they really put resources into that and will continue to do so. So that's good. I mentioned earlier, we've got some institutions that have been running programs for 15 years in a row. And so I think that for us is success in that an institution is committed to saying, hey, we're in this for a long haul. We want to build relationships. We want to keep coming back. And so that's really exciting for us. We also work with, let's say, probably over 130 US institutions. And lots of exciting ones. I think Africa has its challenges, as we know, and every continent. And so as much as we work with that many people as well, not to say we've always just got it all right, but we're committed to, to learning and growing and communicating and being flexible. Maybe I'll use one recent example. So just because we spoke about virtual exchange earlier, you know, for us, that is, it's very interactive and engaging and really getting students to talk to students and, you know, bringing in, you know, these voices into classrooms and across multiple continents. So it's not just, you know, one way communication. It's very, very engaging. One community college that we work with, they do, as a build up to the in-country program, they have four sessions from November last year until the last one was this week. And they're only 1 hour sessions, but they kind of build towards an excitement about a study abroad program. The last one was on Human Rights Day here in South Africa last week, and our team facilitated a 1 hour. We look at Trevor Noah's book, Born a Crime, and they would have read it or part of it. And so there's a, you know, facilitated conversation about it. And if I could read just one of the students' reflections on this, it just shows how powerful it can be. And so the student said, "Not only am I learning about the seemingly distant continent that my ancestry traced back to, but each time I participate in the sessions, I find the interactions healing my resentment towards slavery, apartheid. Even though I have friends from Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Liberia, and the Congo, I leave their presence always longing to belong, to have a sense of identity among this generation's Africans. But these sessions go beyond watching YouTube or reading material, as it puts me into a space to have a dialogue and that my opinion and my perspectives matter. The education and awareness that EDU Africa provides continues to build my confidence to be part of the change and not only a bystander. I look forward to continuing as I study abroad this summer in Africa." Like I said earlier, that's why we exist. And so I think success looks like building long-term relationships, and success means true to our goal of helping transform lives. Like, that's really what we are passionate about in the end. Yeah, just amazing to read reflections like that, eh?
That is amazing. As I'm listening to you talk about that, I think those sessions, it sounds like they're doing them as part of a class that students have already chosen to participate in the Africa Study Abroad. But also, those are great ways to I think recruit students as well. Having those kinds of sessions really connects them to the country and the people and makes them more interested in being able and in wanting to go to Africa. Because I think when I see students, you know, that come to me and are interested in study abroad, it's usually because they have some kind of connection to the country that they want to go to. They maybe have some ancestry, or maybe they're just interested in an aspect of the culture or the food or whatever it might be. So I think that's amazing that the virtual study abroad definitely has some real advantages for students and for connecting people all over the world.
It's partly some of those students are already excited about coming and committed, but it's also it's not the first time we've done this, and it's being used as a awareness and recruitment. And we really want to take the learnings from the virtual exchange and be able to do that and to have these kind of sessions. And so if someone's got a program that's going to run and they'd like help with recruitment, this is a great way to do it. I mean, and it helps prepare students for their learning journey. Like, you know, I think historically maybe students would just rock up and like, oh, what's the culture here again? Or what's the currency? But this way, you've had a couple of sessions where I understand the overview of the country, I understand the culture, I've done some intercultural competence training and curiosity and respect. I've met our community partner. I've engaged with some history about it. I've met the facilitator. And so students arrive just so much more well prepared, for a program. But also, yeah, it does help with recruitment, because you've now spoken to a person, seen something, and just makes it a little bit more real. So, yeah, great point.
From taking students on study abroad trips, having that background for them just does make them feel more comfortable and kind of maybe dissipates that culture shock a little bit, because they are more prepared. And for community college students, we have so many students who've never, I have a student going this summer who's never flown before. So her first flight is going to be across a going to a different continent. So, I mean, this is a huge deal for our students. So any help that they have with those kinds of things, I think makes a massive difference. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Africa does certainly get a bad rap sometimes. Sometimes, you know, Parts of it are true, and I guess there's anywhere around the world, you know, you're going to get news. Sometimes it's really sensationalized, and so, you know, really to kind of dig down and find the truth in that, and that's where I think, you know, wherever someone is working around the world, if they've got a, you know, a local partner there, to really, really reach out and kind of decide like what is real versus perceived risk, what's it actually like on the ground, and not to just kind of believe everything in the news. I mean, example was like, you know, South Africa getting labeled with Omicron virus, and really then the world shuts down and blocks South Africa, and you got to kind of, you know, get over all of those misconceptions before you travel there. And so, you know, just to say, like, Africa is it's a growing place, a young population, warm and friendly, and, you know, we have found as well that it's a safe place. Anywhere you travel internationally, you need to just be savvy. If you're going to Rome or to New York or, you know, anywhere, you go, just be really aware. And so just to, you know, invite people to reach out, to engage, to learn, to, you know, to take those risks, to talk about it, to really come on a journey of exploration and discover, you know, the beauty of Africa, and her people, and, you know, we're here to welcome them, and you know, from the small amount of, you know, of students that we get to interact with on a year, just to hear the experiences, we obviously now have some data to back up that they, I'm speaking about transformation, but when we also look at some of the qualitative responses, like I read earlier, and we've got a lot of that, it really is profound. And so, yeah, just, I mean, very thankful, Jody, for this platform, you know, for the, you know, the Growing Internationals podcast, and all that you're doing to promote globalization, both on campuses and internationally. And so, you know, thankful for your time today.
We will post it on the CCID website. We do post it through our Illinois Consortium site. And then, of course, it's on Podbean. So hopefully we'll get a lot of people listening and contacting you. I think you have an amazing program. I'm sold. So it's always fun for me to talk to people, because I learn so much, and you have a fantastic, it just sounds amazing. And as I'm listening to it, for me, I just think that learning about a culture that you don't know much about, I mean, I know a lot more about European culture, my background, my personal background, my family's more European based. And I think the important thing is, I always tell students, is to get out of your comfort zone and do something different, go somewhere that you're not familiar with. And, you know, really you're going to learn a lot more that way.
Yeah. Thanks, Jody. Non-traditional destinations, like Africa, you know, we need more advocacy for it. And so, yeah, thank you for your advocacy, and CCIDs as well. And many others who are advocating for Africa as a destination to learn from and to partner with. So, you know, thank you again.
You're welcome. And we'll put your contact information on the podcast overview, and so people can contact you through that. So thank you so much. And I will hopefully talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jody. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. I hope you got some good information from today's podcast, and you will continue listening to Growing International. If you have any questions, please email me at jlittleton@parkland.edu. I'm always happy to talk to you online, so please send me any questions that you have. Also, I hope you continue listening to this podcast. We are hosted on Podbean, and also we are now on Spotify and Google. So again, thank you so much, and catch you later.